Okay, we're going to start in John chapter 1. We're going to spend the majority of our time in the Gospels. The great joys of reading God's Word is to see how God works in partnership with men and women. He made a vow in Genesis, and that vow was to the adversary. This is what I'm going to do. And this seed of the woman is going to crush your head. You'll bruise his heel, but you'll be finished. God could have brought that to pass any number of ways. He's God. But what he chose to do was to partner with men and women in bringing to pass his word. Isn't that amazing? And one of the things that that speaks to is how much he loves mankind, how much he loves his creation. And one of the things and one of the joys about this and seeing this is how God works with people. And you have many examples in God's word. We're going to take a familiar one today, but you've got Moses. Well, Abraham. Abraham went from an idolater to the father of believing. You look at that and we say to ourselves, wow, Abraham, what a believer, what a God that he would work with a man like that. See, Moses, when God first appeared to Moses, Moses came up with a number of excuses. And then when none of those excuses worked, he just flat out said, no, send somebody else. And he went from that to the meekest man on the face of the earth. A man that God says he knew face to face. Isn't that amazing? And you see God working with this man, his patience, his love, his instruction. Sometimes it was behind the scenes. Like with Esther. Here's a woman who was sold to be a concubine. And she ended up being the queen. Who did that? See, God did that. And he's never even mentioned. It's all behind the scenes. His working. Working with Mordecai, working with her. See, and she obeyed. And God did that and brought that to pass and saved his people in partnership. Do you think God could have stopped the killing of Israel if he wanted to? Yeah. I can read you many records in God's word where he did things like that. But he chose to partner with these people. Isn't that something? And then you've got David. It just goes on and on and on. How God worked with these people. Apostle Paul, right? It's breathtaking how he works with man. And while these all grew to have great reverence and love for God, it was God who worked with them, who taught them, guided them, and that's what we get to see in God's Word this morning. I want to spend a little time. I know we did this some years back, but I just thought it would be a blessing to do. Looking at one of my favorite guys is Peter. I love Peter. Because if you want to know what Peter's thinking, just keep reading. He was a fisherman. He was a tradesman. Came from that kind of a background. And he ended up, we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at these things, but he ended up being the spokesman for the apostles. He would speak on their behalf. He would ask questions on their behalf. Isn't that something? He was a leader. And yet, he was deeply flawed. And yet, he's the one that spoke on the day of Pentecost. And so we're going to see some of these things as we read. We're not going to read every record, but I think this will be fun. John chapter 1 and verse 35. It says, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek you? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where do you live? Where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two, which heard John, followed him. It was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. It's pretty amazing. After spending one day with Jesus, he's the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Okay. And then the day following, Jesus went forth into Galilee. So this is the initial meeting with Jesus Christ. And Jesus renames him. This was going to be a very significant event in the life of Peter. If you turn to Mark chapter 1, this is sometime after that initial meeting. But in Mark chapter 1, verse 16, this was at the beginning of his ministry. Now as he walked, verse 16, by the Sea of Galilee, and saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come, ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And he called them also, and they followed. So this was sometime after his initial meeting, which we just read in the Gospel of John. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5. There is some time that passes. And in Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering, he said unto Master, look, I'm the fisherman. We've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down my nets. Okay? Jesus Christ said, let down your nets. Plural. Peter said, look, here's the deal. No fish. I know it. All right? I'll drop a net in. Okay, let's just satisfy this thing. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net what? Broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." I read this, and I think, this is a man Jesus could work with. He wasn't even worthy. Ha! Isn't that something? For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes that they had taken. There's some real heart here that Peter is demonstrating in this kind of reaction, in this kind of repentance, in this kind of realization of who Jesus was. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Matthew. And we're just going to read little bits of some of these things. But I think in so doing, we'll kind of get a feel. We'll get a feel for this. Well, Matthew chapter 14. This is the record of Jesus Christ. Yeah, here it is. This was after the feeding of the 5,000, which you can read about in the Gospel of John, chapter 6 also. But straightway Jesus, in verse 22, constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." This is remarkable. If you can picture this, you're on the Sea of Galilee. There's a storm, so it's dark. It's pitch dark. I have been on the ocean during a storm, and it's something. It's rough, but you can't see anything. All you can see is maybe the white caps. So you see somebody walking. That would be scary, right? You know, maybe in a flash of lightning, it's like, "Ooh, what was that?" No. So they were afraid. Completely understandable. Completely understandable. And Jesus says, "It's me." You know, what that must have done for their hearts. You know, it's like, then Peter answered and said, "Lord, okay, if it's you, bid me come out of the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That is remarkable. Peter walked on water. Verse 30, but he saw the wind boisterous. He got afraid. He began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little or immature believing, why did you doubt?" See? Why did you doubt? And it's just, it's a human thing. You think about it, when he said, "Bid me come on the water," Peter was looking at Jesus. He was heading toward him. He was looking at him. And then at some point, he said, saw. He saw the winds and the waves. Where did his eyes go? That's when he got scared. But has that ever happened to you? That's why I love this. You know, and Jesus didn't, you know, listen, swim back. He didn't do that. You know how Peter got back? He walked back. You just pull them, and they walk back. Isn't that something? Ah, just the beauty of this. And when you read these records, you always remember that Jesus was the manifestation, the perfect expression of the Father's heart, of who our God is. Matthew 16, next couple, or one page anyway. Two pages for me. We're going to begin in verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." What a remarkable moment that must have been. You know, for Jesus to say that to Peter, and what must have gone on in Peter's heart. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the king, the keys." Now, these are remarkable things he's doing. "And whatsoever thou, Peter, shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And you see that come to pass later on in the book of Acts. Well, let's keep reading. Let's go to verse 22. I'm sorry. Yeah, never mind. Let's just keep reading. Verse 20. "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ," is how it should read, or the Messiah. "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took him." Can you imagine this? You got to picture this. Peter took him. Like this. "And began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." That's not going to happen. Now, I understand this. You know, what they thought the Messiah would be, what they thought the Messiah would do, that he would be a conqueror, he would, you know, do these things. They didn't understand yet. It just didn't register, you know, how Jesus Christ would conquer, how Jesus Christ would overcome, and that it would be by death and resurrection. And then in verse 23, it says, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." So we just went in like 2 minutes from, "My Father in heaven revealed this unto you. Get behind me, Satan." It's Peter. It's Peter. Isn't that something? In John, right around this time, we're not going to go there, but I just thought of this, where Jesus Christ was speaking in sacrificial language and many of his disciples left. And he said unto his men, He said, you're going to go too? And Jesus, or Peter, the spokesman, said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. He knew he was the Christ. Isn't that something? Just remarkable to read some of these things. Chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain. You see Peter, James, and John a number of times in the Gospels. Those were the three that he brought into the Garden of Gethsemane at his darkest hour. And here's the Mount of Transfiguration when he's, in verse 2, transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto the Lord, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he was saying this, while he had suggested this incredible idea that just came to him to build these tabernacles, one for each, the voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were what? They were so afraid. But, you know, Jesus loved them. He told them, don't say anything to anybody about this. And so they didn't. Matthew 26, verse 30. Matthew 26, verse 30. This was right after what we call the Last Supper. This was approaching a very dark hour where Jesus Christ would hand himself over to the power of darkness. And they sung a hymn in verse 30. They went out into the Mount of Olives, and then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I'll go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of you, I will never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples. Do you think Peter meant that? He absolutely meant that. I will die with you. He meant that. Well, then came the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed and asked God to remove this cup from him. He had gone a distance away from Peter, James, and John, and after his initial prayer, he came back and said to Peter, what, you couldn't wash with me 1 hour? You couldn't stay awake just for a minute to pray with me? Because Jesus was at his lowest moment at this point. And it's quite a record. We're not going to take the time to read it. But we're going to go down to verse 69 of this chapter. This is after the crucifixion. Or I'm sorry, this is after they took him. And they were beating Jesus. In verse 69 it says, now Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before all, saying, I don't know what you're saying. And when he was gone out into the porch, another saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. He swore it. I don't even know him. Did Peter know who Jesus was? He did. And after a while came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for your speech betrays you, your accent, I can tell. Then began he, this is Peter, to curse and to swear. He was a fisherman. He could do these things. Could probably do them pretty well. So he began to curse and to swear, and immediately, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I can't imagine a man like Peter. He was a tough guy. He was a leader. He knew who Jesus was. God had showed it to him. And his weeping bitterly, I think that at least two parts of it was, one, how he so disappointed his Lord, and the great disappointment to himself. It's pretty remarkable. I can't imagine what that was like for him. But it says he went out and wept bitterly. Now, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 22. Boy, some real ups and downs so far. But it is so wonderful that these records are in here. These records of men who, you know, boy, they walk. And sometimes it's just rough patches, but God's there. He works with them. He nudges, he teaches, he instructs, and boom, they're back. You know, you think about the life of David, all the ups and downs, and yet God renamed his throne after David, the throne of his son. Isn't that something? In Luke chapter 22, we're going to pick it up in verse 31. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that your believing fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Isn't that something? And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And then, of course, he's told again that he would deny him, which we've already seen. You know, Satan had desired to sift Peter as wheat, but Jesus prayed for him. And then immediately after that, or shortly after that, Peter fails miserably in denying his Lord. we're going to pick it up in Luke 24, I believe. Yeah. This is the appearance where the two men on the road to Emmaus had seen Jesus Christ in his resurrected body. But I wanted to read in verse 33, it says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying in verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. We go from Peter weeping bitterly to being told that his body was gone. He went to the tomb twice and didn't know what to make of it. He didn't know what to make of it. And yet he was the first of the apostles that Jesus Christ appeared to. It doesn't say anything about that meeting. But I bet you that was quite a tender moment. Because the last thing we read about Peter is that he wept bitterly. And here Jesus pulls him aside, mano on mano, one on one. See? And then he appeared to the rest. But that's our Lord. I want to turn to John 21. And then I'm just going to story time a few things here. In John chapter 21, we've seen twice where Jesus told Peter, follow me. Two times so far. Now we're going to read the third time, and it's in John 21. We're going to begin in verse 15. It says, so when they had dined, very quickly, what leads up to this is the men were fishing and they weren't catching anything. They saw a guy on the shore, didn't know who he was, had a little campfire going. And that man said, have you caught anything? Peter said, yeah, we had fish all night. I haven't caught anything. Why don't you cast your nets out? Of course, they filled up. Peter, it dawns on him, this is the Lord. So he swims 100 yards to shore. And to give you an idea of Peter and what he was like, just his physical strength, they caught, it says, 153 large fish. Peter dragged that in a net through the sandy beach by himself. Yeah. But anyway, so Jesus had a fire ready, had a couple fish cooking. Ever the servant, huh? And Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, you know I do. You know I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked whither you wanted. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death or what kind of death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Third time. Isn't that something? Three times, follow me. Well, Peter did. you know, you read on the day of Pentecost, it was Peter that stood up and said, you know, you men of Israel, hearken unto my words. And when he was done, and it says at the end of that record, it says, and with many other words, he exhorted them. There were about 3,000 people saved. And then you continue to read on about Peter and the healing of the lame man, how he stood against the religious leaders. We ought to obey God rather than men. And then it goes on in chapter 4 and in chapter 5 and in chapter 6. You know, at the very shadow of Peter, they were healed. And then it goes on, and then you see in Acts, you know, chapter 8, where he goes down after Philip and minister to the people there. It continues on through the book of Acts. He's the one that held forth the word to the Judeans on Pentecost and then to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. when he went to the house of Cornelius, raised Dorcas from the dead. Just some amazing things that Peter did. Well, let's turn to Galatians 2, and then we're going to close in 1 Peter. Peter was a man of reputation. He was very much looked up to. You see it in Corinthians, where Paul writes by revelation. Some say I'm of Paul. Some say I'm of Apollos. Some say I'm of Cephas. So Peter was somebody who was held in reputation, somebody that was looked up to. He was with the Lord Jesus Christ and did some amazing things in walking for God, walking for his Lord. But in Galatians chapter 2, this is a record. This is interesting. But again, we're men. The long and short of it is that there was a place called Antioch. And Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was a great man. And had served with Paul and understood the mystery that Jew and Gentile, fellow heir, new man. It was in Antioch where they were first called Christians. They were already teaching that. They already knew it. They'd seen it manifested. Gentiles were getting born again left and right. Well, this turned into a big to-do. The church of Jerusalem was upset about this. And certain came from Jerusalem and said, you know, this you got to be circumcised. You have to obey the Mosaic law in order to be saved. And Paul didn't lay it down. And so they went to Jerusalem, had a council. Peter was there. Peter spoke. And he relayed how that he had first held forth the word of the Gentiles. Well, sometime after that, Paul and Barnabas and others were in Antioch, where there was just great move of God's word. And Peter went to Antioch. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain, now picture this, came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. And why not? Right? One new man. Peter knew that. But when they were come, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they, these certain came from James, which was the church of Jerusalem, they showed up. It says, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were what? Of the certain. This is Peter. And yet he feared the leadership from Jerusalem to the end that he withdrew from the Gentiles. What do you think that did for the hearts of those people who looked up to him, who had this tremendous respect for him? I'll show you the amount of weight that Peter carried. Fearing them of the circumcision, verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled or joined in the hypocrisy with him. Insomuch to this end that Barnabas, who had been with Paul, was carried away. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why would you compel thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Which he was doing by his actions. See? And he goes on and continues, and he reproves Peter before them all. And Paul was right. He was right. And this caused a great division. It ended up resulting in Paul and Barnabas not ministering together anymore after this. It really had quite an effect on the church. Isn't that something? It wasn't a high moment in Peter's life. But years later, and that's where we're going to close, let's go to 1 Peter. Years later, he writes these great epistles. In verse 1 of 1 Peter, chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, or Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept, guarded by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your believing, being much more precious than that of gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's the opening words. You know, these believers were going through some things. There were pressures, there were trials, there were some persecutions. But Peter had been through some himself, hadn't he? Absolutely. He'd come through a number of things. And here he is, writing by revelation to the body of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Let's close in 2 Peter. And I wanted to read this because we're going to read the last words that we have recorded from this amazing man, from this wonderful man. Verse 15, we'll start here, and this is really something. Verse 15, an account that the long sufferings of our Lord is salvation, it's deliverance.
Chapter 3.
Sorry. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. An account the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. You mean that Paul that reproved him in front of the church at Antioch? Yeah. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned or ignorant and unstable, they rest or they torture, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own ruin or destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own stability. Had Peter been led away? Sure. And here he's writing by revelation. Do you see what God does with this and where it lands? And look at the last recorded words that we have of Peter. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever, or in the age. Amen. So his last words open with, grow in the what? That's the grace of God. See? He walked in it. Isn't that something? And he just kept coming back. But this is where he landed. And we have these amazing epistles to read and to learn from. See? But we also have the joy of seeing how God worked with this man. And he was just a guy. He was a fisherman, rough around the edges. You know, sometimes too quick to speak. But he learned and he grew and he stood. Isn't that something? So, Satan didn't sift him as wheat. So, amen. I'm going to pray.